We're going to go to prayer, and I'd like for the men especially to just, as we go to the Lord, to pray and ask God to speak to us. Amen? Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray, and it will only be by you, by your Spirit, that you will speak especially to the men, and yes, the young men, in this building this morning. We pray for the ladies. We rejoice in godly mothers, godly women. We rejoice in them. And as we will see, they have a part in this message as well. But Lord, the times demand that we hear your word out. And I pray that we indeed would do that. Not only do that, but Lord, we would take it on our own lives to be able to give account, take possession of that which we have been called to with our brothers in Christ and our sons and our daughters. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. There are two things that we have learned. The message this morning is about building the wall of discernment. Two things that we have learned about walls. Say it with me. What's the first one? Walls separate and walls... We got to do better than that. Walls separate, walls secure. Now, we've looked at two walls. First of all, there's the wall of devotion or holiness. God does not want worship, we've learned, for what it does for Him. He is not on an ego trip. God wants us to worship, to understand His worthiness as we come and reverence Him for what it does for us. Because worship, coming before God, even this morning, with a heart that is given wholly to Him, that is that which will affect you like nothing else. You can come into a service, even this one, and just bide your time, and what the Word of God says and what I preach will do nothing for you. But if you have emptied yourself of yourself, did you hear me? If you've emptied yourself of yourself and you've said, Lord, feed me. Whatever it is that's inside me, I want what you want to give me. It'll change your life forever. We become like what we worship. We become like what we worship. If you're going to worship self, it's going to be evident. Not just to God, but to others. If we can come in, if we can hear the preaching of God's Word Sunday after Sunday, and we do not change, it's because we're not really worshiping the God of the Bible. It's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. We become like what we worship. Secondly, there's the wall of holiness or devoutness. Remember what Peter said in 1 Peter 1. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Literally, after the pattern of the one who called you. Be here, when he says, be ye holy. It is the verb, not of being, but of becoming. It is signifying entrance into a new state. Shameen, you just got saved. Are you the same person that you were a year ago? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Change comes to the human life that comes to Christ. So, the wall of worship and the wall of holiness. Now we're going to look at the wall of discernment. You've all heard the story about the dad. They're on vacation. They're driving the family vehicle. Used to say the family station wagon. You don't say that anymore. It's the SUV. It's, you know, the whatever, the crew cab. And so he sees a sign, do not enter. But he knows better because GPS told him that this is a shortcut. So he goes around the sign and he's driving down the dirt road and his wife says, honey, are you sure it said do not enter? No, Mom, hey, listen, I know this. Trust me. We've got four-wheel drive. Everything's good. And so he drives 1 mile, 2 miles, 3 miles, and all of a sudden, the dips in the road are like this, and the boulders and the rocks and everything else, and he goes, we're in trouble. He's got to back up 400 yards before he can turn around, and then finally, as they're going back to the main road, the sign that says do not enter on one side has another sign in the back, and it says, welcome back, stupid. Moral of story. Believe what those in the proper authority would tell you. Discernment means this. It means discrimination. Yes, there, you know, everybody discriminates, by the way. Everybody discriminates. Some is good, some is not good. But everybody discriminates. Discrimination, acuteness of judgment, and understanding. A man by the name of Stoll said this, discernment in Scripture is the skill that enables us to differentiate. It is the ability to see issues clearly. We desperately need to cultivate this spiritual skill that will enable us to know right from wrong. How many of you recognize it's good to know right from wrong? Say amen. Amen. Absolutely. We must be prepared to distinguish light from darkness, truth from error, best from better, righteousness from unrighteousness, purity from defilement, and principles from pragmatics. Men, I want to speak to you specifically, and young men as well. Listen, it ought to be in the body of Christ. It ought to be that men build walls for men. That men build walls for men, walls of discernment based on Scripture, not on opinion, based on Scripture. Men ought to build walls for men. Fathers ought to build walls for sons. Amen? By the way, fathers ought also to build walls for daughters. Yeah, but you know what? Kids today, they don't listen. Listen, that doesn't mean anything. You build a wall. You build a wall. Men ought to build walls for men. Fathers ought to build walls for their wives, their sons, and their daughters. And by the way, men of God ought to build walls of discernment in their communities and, yes, in their nation. In their nation. I want you to go back. I want you to look, please, to 1 Kings chapter 2. Look at verse 2. What's the first words out of David's mouth? He says, I go the way of what? I go the way of all the earth. Now, I want you to stop right there. Wayne, do you have that picture by any chance? What's that? No one gave you sermon notes? I apologize. They went to a person that's not here today. I found a picture. We still haven't gone through everything that my mom left behind. She's got so many pictures. We just came across pictures that we took on vacation. It was absolutely unreal. But we came across this picture of our family that was taken in 1989. It's the picture that we sent to President Reagan when we were going to meet him. And I'm looking at that picture, and then I look at myself in the mirror. I'm looking at the picture, and I'm looking at me. And I thought, there is change in the air. Now, you know why there's a difference? I go the way of all the earth. By the way, you do too. And for that reason, we ought to be in the habit of building walls of discernment. It's never too late to build this kind of wall. God blesses it because, as we'll see, the Word of God is filled with it. David was nearing death. His time on earth was drawing to a close. What did David do? He sat his son Solomon down and he said, listen, there's some things you need to understand. He built a wall of discernment for Solomon. Go back to it. He said, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. Watch this. Verse 3. And keep the charge of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways. That's a wall of separation. There's God's way and there's man's way. Solomon, walk in God's way. That's discernment. Because there's going to come a time before when Solomon needs to know, this is right, this is wrong. Now, don't get ahead of the message. Go, yeah, but I remember when Solomon did some things that were wrong. I understand that. But David did what he needed to do. He sat his son down and he said, you go the way of God. Don't go the way of man. You go God's way. He built himself a wall. He built his son a wall. Let's keep going. To keep his statutes, there it is, and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses. He not only built a wall, but he said, this is where you're going to find the materials for the wall. And we have the materials. It's not called opinion. It's called the Word of God. Amen? Look at verse 4. Then the Lord, that the Lord may continue his word, which he spake concerning me, saying, if thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul. Watch this now. There shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel. Walls also secure. Solomon, if you do this and your children do this, then this will keep continuing. Why? Because when walls are built and they're not breached, and they're not punched through, walls separate and walls secure. And that's why we need the walls of discernment in America, in God's people's households. And it doesn't matter if they've been breached before. It doesn't matter if they've been broken down like Nehemiah. We need to go in and we need to build those walls again. Walls separate and walls secure. We need walls of discernment. Listen, we've got a real problem. When I preached this before, some of you might remember this message. I love this passage. David told Solomon, you do three things. You be a man for God, you obey the word of God, and you rely on the promises of God. That is a wall of discernment. Listen, God's men build walls for other men. About 30 years ago, I was up at Lucerne. Lucerne, before we sold it and bought Wolf Mountain, Lucerne Christian Conference Center was up on by Clear, beautiful place. About 30 years ago, and this guy wound up coming several times, I think about three times or so, there was a man that flew out from Washington, D.C., and he came out to do nothing more than give a testimony. He was working for, he was helping some Christian ministries and such. He owned a Toyota dealership in Washington, D.C. In fact, there were a couple of pastors from California one time that were with him in Washington, D.C. And he said to them, hey, how would you like to go over to the Russian embassy? Now remember, this is in, when this took place, this was in the late 60s. And they're going, are you a Russian agent? He says, no, I just know some people there. So, excuse me, it was in the early 70s, not late 60s, early 70s. So they drove over to the Russian embassy. And in walks these two Baptist preachers with this guy, and he's being greeted. Hey, good to see you again. How you doing? You know, went in. And so he's showing them around, and he's introducing them to people. And they ask these two preachers, what do you do? He says, we preach God's word. And boy, did they get into an interesting conversation. Like, brother, oh man, you know. But they walked out and they go, how in the world did you get us in there? He said, did you look in the parking lot? It was filled with Toyotas. He sold them to the Russian embassy. But this man had a testimony. There was a man, in fact, my wife took a class with him. There was a man by the name of Dr. Fremont at Bob Jones University. You ask any student that was under him, he's one of the most godly men you would ever want to meet, a godly man. They were at a conference. They were doing something. It was a Christian conference, and this man had flown out to be with them. Dr. Fremont said to this man, I wish I could remember his name, but I can't. Dr. Fremont said, brother, he says, suppose you were staying in a motel like this. And he says, you get your key, and you go to your room, and you open the door, and there, laying on your bed, is a sultry-looking young lady in a negligee. What do you do? And he kind of laughed, and he said, well, I think probably what I'd do is I'd say, you know, one of us has the wrong room. He thought that was the right answer. Dr. Fremont launched out of the bed, and he said, no! You run! You get out of there and you run! You know what Dr. Fremont just did? He built that man a wall. He built a wall. Several months later, the man is at another motel. Nice, you know, one of the really nice ones. They're having a conference again. They're going to be meeting in such and such a place. He's in the pool and he's kicked back. He's got his arms up on the side, you know, like this. And a young lady in a bathing suit walks up to him and says, I just watched a movie and I want to do it. You know what he did? He got up out of that pool, dripping wet, and he walked straight to the lobby. Dripping wet, went right into the lobby, and just as he went into the lobby, the car pulled up that had the pastors in it that he was meeting with. That man had another man think about him enough that he built him a wall. A wall of discernment. And it worked. It worked. You see, you're my business. I'm your business. And I'm talking to the men. You know what, guys? Each other is our business. When it comes to life in the body of Christ, we build walls, not walls of opinion. But if it's found in this book, is this found there? Are you kidding me? It's everywhere. Go to Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31. Ladies, you're not getting off the hook. You know why? You know where you're going. Because ladies build walls for sons as well. Look at verse 1. Proverbs 31. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. What, my son? And what the son of my womb? And what the son of my vows? Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. Son, your dating life is my business. What you do with yourself is my business. How many of you ever heard this from your dad? I brought you into this world and I can take you out. Used to have a deacon here. He would tell about his son. He says, you know, my son can threaten me anything he wants, but he's got to sleep sometime. But you know what? Hey, how many of you, you remember my mom. Mom was 5 foot zip. And it's not that mom ever really beat me, but there is one thing, and some of you guys, you know what I'm talking about. There is something a mom can do that will bring you to your knees and you will absolutely die. You want the roof to fall in if your mom starts crying. If mom started shedding tears, you will sell everything that you have. Mom, just play. Now, my dad was 6 foot two. He's a Marine. I could talk him out of stuff. But mom, ain't going there. Not a chance. Listen. We think, what can we do? I mean, we've got walls that need to be built. Listen, the Bible is filled with the material. Now, are you hearing me? There are some things that are important today. The Bible is filled with the material. Go to Leviticus chapter 10. You say, well, that's Old Testament. Yep, sure is. Sure is. I'm glad you recognize that. Look at Leviticus chapter 10. Look at verse 8. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, saying, do not drink wine or strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when ye go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. And it shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, and that ye may put difference between holy and unholy, and between unclean and clean. Listen, there is not a day that goes by when we don't have to differentiate. When we don't have to say, you know what? I'm not going to participate in that. I'll participate in this. I'm not looking at that, but praise God, I'm going to rejoice in that. There isn't a day that goes by. And look, you and I, we might as well face it. All right? I mean, if you don't want to hear from me, you hear from somebody else, but you better hear it. This is what we are in the middle of. I go to our daughter's house yesterday, and I've got London with me. And it's, you know, and she's watching My Little Pony. You know, and it's cute, and the little ponies. You know what's coming out this week on My Little Pony? This week. Lesbian ponies. It's just getting flat out down and dirty. It's not just a thing of simple immorality anymore. And it gets, if I can put it this way, it gets better, and we'll be talking about that after the service. Go to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. Look at verse 1, Proverbs chapter 2. First of all, Solomon, in writing to his son, and some people say that this was written from David to Solomon. You can argue either way. It's good stuff. First of all, he says, seek. Look at verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom. Listen up. Incline thine ear unto wisdom, and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for hid treasure, that seek, here's the source. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom. For the righteous he is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand, you're going to understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. You'll understand that you don't need to watch Hell's Box Office or sin to the max. You don't need those things. That's not what you're going to build your life on. That's not what you're going to build your marriage on. You seek the source for the godly life. And all those that would laugh at it, they're going to go their way and be sure your sin will find you out. But this is what we do. And we share it. God is at work seeing just how wise and discerning we really are. Proverbs 21:2. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes. You know, this is good. This is, you know, I'm okay with this. But the Lord pondereth the hearts. You know, you and I can't beat the game of sin. And we can't, as somebody put a long time ago, we can't pop a sham off on God. We can't do it. We just can't do it. In this crazy world, we need God's wisdom. Well, guess what? It's found in God's Word. Now, you say, well, I'm a Christian. Great, praise God. But you need to hear this out. Christ told the disciples in Matthew 10, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." You got to think. And this is where men help men. Because men wind up getting discouraged and men wind up struggling with things. Men need the encouragement of men. Sons need the encouragement of fathers. So, well, my dad wasn't very encouraging. I understand that. But you know what? You can be encouraging. You take any man around you, they'll listen if they're wise. If they don't, you can't do anything about that. But you've got God's Word. You hear it out. Listen, we need to recognize this. The enemy is bent on destroying our walls. The enemy is bent on destroying our walls. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13. "For such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." Look, everybody that walks up with a so-called Bible in their hand to a pulpit, that doesn't mean that they're a servant of God. Robert Schuller never got anybody into heaven with the gospel of Jesus Christ because he didn't preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And whoever that is down in Houston, he left it a long time ago. We have to be wise with this. Well, you're judging other people. No, I'm not. God's Word is. We just read it. Amen? Amen. Folks, men build walls for men. By the way, pastors build walls from the pulpit because they're called to do it. If we get so that we're so touchy-feely that we don't want to hurt feelings, can you imagine? Ron Souza needs to know the truth. What's going on with my body? Can you imagine if the doctor looked and said, "Well, it sure is a nice day outside." "Yeah, but doc, my back hurts. Why?" "I don't know, but you know what? Didn't chocolate ice cream sound good right now?" That's foolish. You know what's great? Is to be able to get into the pulpit and say, "Thus saith the Lord, the King of kings and Lord of lords, the God that not only created us, praise God, He died for us, He saved us, and He directs us now. And He says, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age." God builds walls. He built walls through His Word. And by that, we can encourage each other. Paul told the church at Galatia, in Galatians 1:8, "But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, other than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." Wow, that's strong language. Yeah, it's because eternity is long. And you know, it's so sad. You can see people driving into a Catholic church or into the Kingdom Hall or into the Mormon church. And the fact of the matter is, they're learning on another day how to die and go to hell. But you know, they do that with touchy-feely churches that are too scared to preach the gospel, to tell people that, you know what, you're a sinner and you need Jesus Christ. And you can't work your way to heaven. And oh, by the way, when you trust Christ as Savior, guess what? You can't live the Christian life on your own. And by the way, we can't. Like we were just with the young men this morning. Hey, I am the vine, ye are the branches. I'm the one that produces the fruit, not you. Interesting. There was a greeting card company. The executives got together in this company and they decided to do something special for Mother's Day. They went to a federal prison and they invited all the inmates that wanted to send free a Mother's Day card to their mothers to come and do so. The response was incredible. They had to go out and get extra cards. I mean, so many of the prisoners wanted to send a Mother's Day card to their mother. Said, wow, this was really something. Let's do this on Father's Day. You know how many prisoners in that prison came to send a card to their fathers? Nobody. And in fact, when they asked, you know, why don't you? Many of them don't even know who their fathers are. Sin is in the middle of destroying the human race. It's time we build walls of discernment. Amen? We need to remember this. One generation does not automatically retain what the previous generation has learned. I got to thinking about it, especially with the death of my mother. There are so many things now that I'm not going to find out about my family. My family history. It's gone. She's gone. All of her brothers and sisters are gone. They're all gone. There's some things that are just flat out lost. Now somebody else might have the information, but I don't. Every generation has the obligation, and praise God the opportunity, but the obligation to learn what it can learn, to retain and pass on to the next generation, as we read in Proverbs. But what we pass on is that which will impact for eternity. John Quincy Adams, our nation's sixth president, was the father of four children. He was gone a lot because of his work, but he wanted to encourage his children during the times that he was gone. So he sent a series of letters to his children. And in that, he gave advice, among other things, on how to read the Bible. Quote, I advise you, my son, in whatever you read, and most of all in reading the Bible, to remember that it is for the purpose of making you wiser and more virtuous. I have myself for many years made it a practice to read through the Bible once a year. I have always endeavored to read it with the same spirit and temper of mind which I now recommend to you. That is, with the intention and desire that it may contribute to my advancement in wisdom and virtue. That's what's missing today in so many areas. I praise God for what God has done in the lives of young women and young men in this church. You know, Jonathan is there on the mission field handing out gospel tracts even as we speak. Praise God for that. I rejoice in how there are young men in here and young women that are hungry for God's word. But boy, there are others. It's sad. Why? There's some things they didn't learn. Fathers and men of God build walls. Walls of discernment, not based on opinion, but thus saith the Lord. In closing, if we're going to build walls, there's three things that we need to do, and I'm done. Number one, we need to know where the walls are needed. Turn, please, if you would, to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Look at verse 23. We need to know where the walls are needed. The Bible tells us where the walls are needed. When it comes to relationships, when it comes to sin, when it comes to our spiritual gifts, when it comes to our calling, when it comes to salvation, when it comes to all things that impact us. The Bible knows where the walls need to go. We need to know where the walls are needed. Psalm 37:23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He's the one that says, this is the way, walk ye in it. He's the one that separates and secures us in our walk. And he delighteth in his way. Look at verse 24. Though he fall, you know, that always happens. How many of you have ever slipped into sin? My hand is up. You know what? Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. Don't let Satan talk you into saying, you know, you're a total failure, get out of here, you can't do it. No, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. The moment you fell, God's hand was there. Our God tells us where the walls need to go. Number two, we need to know and have the materials. The book of Proverbs is the Home Depot, the Lowe's. It's the everything of what we need. The whole Bible, but the book of Proverbs in particular. Psalm 119:11, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Read this, thy word have I hid in mine heart. It built me a wall. It built me a wall. Going back to Psalm 37, verse 30. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom. That's the material. And his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. We need to know and have the materials. And lastly, we need to be willing to build walls of discernment in the face of those who despise them. We need to keep preaching that there's walls that need to be built. Yeah, but you're not tolerant. When it comes to sin, I don't, you know, how many of you, you know, I can tolerate some poison. That's crazy. We are not called to be tolerant. We're called to be holy. Amen? Tolerance, as somebody has said, tolerance is the last cry of those who are shaking their fist in the face of God in their culture. And then it just goes down in flames. You need to tolerate my sin. Isn't it interesting that the people that are screaming that you need to tolerate, we need to tolerate their sin, they can't tolerate our God? They can't tolerate our God. They hate our God. Isn't it something how the Word of God has a lot to say about that? Psalm 37:12. The wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. Psalm 37:32. The wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. Remember Nehemiah while they were building the wall? The enemies of God's people did all they could to stop that wall. Don't let it be built. Don't let them succeed. And that's exactly what is taking place today. That's exactly what's taking place. We want your children in our government schools so we can teach them the way of the wicked. Now you might be, or you might have children or grandchildren in a government school. Let me tell you something. You need to get where you're not going to be sitting and going, you know, I can't believe what's going on. You need for your voice to be heard. You need for your voice to be heard. But what we need to do, folks, we need to walk away from this today. We need to build walls. Dr. Fremont, when he was here, I remember one time in particular, Lou Gehrig's disease finally got Dr. Fremont. The last time I saw him, he was here. He was having difficulty walking. Again, he was up at Lucerne. It was for a men's retreat. As he began every session, he would get up and he would read something like this. He had it written down. He'd say, "Men, if you are involved in pornography or anything akin to it, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to repent and to cease right now." That's gutsy of him. You think he was wrong? "Men, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ, if you're watching something on your computer or on your television that you ought not to be watching, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to stop right now." And all God's ladies said, "Amen." That's the truth. That's the truth. And by the way, there's not a man in here, preacher included, that doesn't struggle with thought life and looking all of a sudden at something that flashes in front of them that he ought not to watch. That's why we need to be careful. That's why we need to step away. You know, it isn't worth it. It isn't worth it. I had a godly friend of mine, a very godly pastor here in California. He said something to me just recently. He said, "I'm so glad there's not a monitor on the back of my head that shows my people the thoughts that I have had in the last several days." But wow, but you know what? That's the truth. By the way, ladies, that's why you need to dress modestly. Amen, men? Amen. Well, what's modest? If you have to ask. By the way, guys, you need to dress modestly as well. Men build walls for men. Fathers build walls for sons. There is right, there is wrong. There is good, there is bad. There is godly, there is godless. And we need to know the difference in this day. Let's pray.